just a short prayer, please. Oh God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. You, oh God, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, our sermon scripture today was Matthew 2:13-23. And I don't know how many of you were able to go ahead and read that, study it, or anything like that before you came today. But the title of this in the New International Version book is The Escape to Egypt. The Escape to Egypt. Did they put any of it on? They've got the whole thing? Okay. And I better read it from here. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And the angel said, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophets, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Now when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem, those who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentations. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child, his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream again, he went away to the district of Galilee. And there he made his home in a little town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. "He will be called a Nazarene." May God bless the reading and the hearing of these words. Wow, that was a lot to take in. This is the Sunday after Christmas. This is the time that we celebrate the birth of the child. And you know one thing that I didn't ask anybody to do? I think these candles need to be lit. This was our Advent wreath. In the center is the Christ candle. Would somebody want to do that? Everything is symbolic. The white that we wear.
I was awake.
The white that we wear. The white curtains.
A little bit more.
All of these things are in celebration. Oh, wow.
We don't want him to go out. There we go.
I want slow.
Everything revolves around the birth of the Christ. Now, all those years ago, it took approximately 2 years for the wise men, the Magi, to come over from the far east where they resided. Close to 2 years, that was a lot of traveling, a lot of following a star and trying to figure out where that star was beaming down. And for some reason, wise men way over in the east knew about the Hebrew people, the Israelites, and studied some of their stories and their journeys. And they had heard the stories about the Christ child being born, the Messiah. Everything about this Christmas story saga is absolutely miraculous. And we believe it. We believe it. We accept it. We want it. We worship the story. We worship the story. The Magi. Did any of you get to see the Kevin Costner presentation of the story of Christmas? Just a couple of you? Okay, it was fantastic. If you can see that, if you can bring it up on your computers or whatever you can do to see that. It was fascinating the way he presented everything. It truly was. Have you heard of the flight or fight response? It's a psychological response to danger. Have you ever been there? So scared, something happens. So scared, you don't know what to do. You don't know whether to stay and face it, and maybe if you have to, be angry and put forth physical effort, or do you choose to back off, run away? Fight or flight, it's a very real thing. A natural reaction to danger triggers physical and psychological changes within us to prepare us to deal with a threat. With a threat. If there's a thunderstorm and there is a bolt of lightning that I see and that looks really close to my house, and then the heavy crash of thunder saying it was really close to my house, I might flee to the basement. I might seek shelter. I won't stay up and stand in front of the window and watch it. Others do, right? I know some of you do. Oh, you like a good old thunderstorm. But it creates a lot of tension in me. I don't particularly care for it, okay? You have an alarm stage, and then you have a resistance stage, and then you have, after all of this might take place, this flight or fight event or situation for you, then you have an exhaustion stage, correct? Total exhaustion. Whatever happened took a lot out of you physically and emotionally, and so an exhaustion stage. Matthew, in his writing of these words of scripture, seems to emphasize God's watchfulness over the child, over Jesus and his parents. His writing seems to point out the fulfillment of Hosea's and Jeremiah's prophecies. Joseph had a dream. Joseph, bless his heart. I think Joseph probably saw angels more than anybody else. I mean, it was angel after angel. Dream after dream. I hadn't even thought of that. Joseph, the chosen father, the father figure to raise the child of God. Angel after angel telling him, go here, go there, get up, move, go back. How would you like to been awakened in the middle of the night and said, you go get on that donkey, you and your wife and your toddler, because by then the Christ child would have been close to 2 years old. And take a toddler in the middle of the night, grab what you can. Grab what you can. And take off across the mountains and the desert and go 500 plus miles to try and find a place to live in Egypt. Yeah. You know, the title of the sermon that I put on there for today. I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. You remember that? Peter, Paul, and Mary? Old people like that. We do. I'm leaving on a jet plane. Dude, what is she thinking? The escape to Egypt. In my house, there are many nativity scenes, you know, little statues and little paintings and Jesus in the manger scene and Joseph and Mary and all of these beautiful little statues to remind me of my holy family and remind me of Christmas, all the good and right kinds of things. And I like all those. Many years ago, I started a collection for my and Gary's daughter, Lynette. At Christmas time, I'd give her some kind of a manger scene. You might ask her someday to see all those collections. They range from something I stitched together out of a piece of muslin and some thread to hand-blown glass. Just any, whatever I could find for her. Every Christmas, something special. This year's is just made out of little galvanized cutout. So yeah, she gets one again this year. There's a lot of them. But in all of my reading and studying on this, modern culture, somewhere along the line, many years ago, people also took this story of the flight into Egypt. And they called it that, flight into Egypt. And they made statuaries. And they made paintings. And they did all of it. Do any of you in your home have something that is Mary and Joseph on a donkey? Traveling? None of you? But it's part of the story. It's the last part of the saga, the Christmas saga. It's the camels and everything. And the wise men and the flight to Egypt. Get up. Get out. Horrible things are going to happen. You need to leave. And according to the historians, horrible things did happen. Herod did send Roman soldiers with swords this long to slaughter children 2 years older than 100. Nice guy, right? Costner portrayed him as totally, totally mad. He had to have been. He had to have been. The escape to Egypt. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And in the Costner film, how he portrayed that with the mother holding two children and all the mess, it was something. And those kinds of things will stick in your brain. It was a terrible time. So the angel came to Joseph, but you know what? Joseph listened. Joseph did what the angel said. He responded. He followed directions. He saved his family. And then, a few years later, that angel came back again. He said, okay, Herod's dead. You can get up. You can return. None of us think about what they do for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years over there in Egypt. He had to earn a living. He had to raise a family. There's a lot to this. You don't just read a few words and that's it at Christmas time. This is a story of faith for all of us to grab hold of. So I wanted to get a little statuary. So I get on the cell phone or computer and you type in flight to Egypt. I just knew I was going to see probably Amazon or different things. I would see little statues and I was going to have something at my house after studying this. I want the flight to Egypt story in my China cabinet. So there. Okay, all of a sudden, had I touched the wrong button, I would have had a ticket to Cairo. Yes, a flight to Egypt. Some of them very expensive, some not too bad, but that's what they were going to give me, a flight to Egypt. That's all they were talking about, tickets to Egypt. Well, I had to search for a while before we figured out that I wanted that little statuary, that something that told of the story that you and I are reading about today. The flight to Egypt. Not everybody knows or understands or buys into some of our traditions. Sometimes we don't even understand where it all comes from. But you do have to just kind of get into it, study it, and be a part of it. Let your heart open up to the reading and the feelings that go with that scripture. Joseph, faithful, obedient, believing, his ticket to Egypt was a donkey ride for his family. His ticket to Egypt was grabbing what he could and getting out as soon as he could. His ticket to Egypt was life. He continued to live because he was obedient and faithful. You and I don't need to wait around for an angel to come in a dream to tell us how to live our lives. Selections to make, choices to make. We don't have to have that. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the child, the story, all of it together is a part of our very being. Do not be ashamed of it. Share it. Encourage others to be a part of this story as well. It is life in abundance. Life. Abundance. Let's pray. We thank you for this story, O God. We thank you for the scripture. We thank you for these human beings, your created peoples, and all they meant to you. And in the Holy Scriptures, being able to read the stories, all it means to us, all it can mean to us, O God. Encourage our hearts. Encourage our hearts to absorb these stories. Our eyes to read the words, and our minds to just sit and think. very blessed we are. All because of your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. They have a hymn of invitation. That is a time when, if you have never come forward before to join the church, maybe, or transfer a membership, or to renew a vow kind of thing. This time. This is why Disciples of Christ Christian churches, independent church Christian churches, we do this. A hymn of invitation, a small amount of time for you. Our invitation hymn today is more about Jesus, what I know, verses 1 and 4.